This is the message from Connection Community Church for May 26, 2024. Christian Living, Goals versus Habits, given by disciple member Erin Mueller.
Well, good morning. Good morning. So I have been a larger girl for as long as I can remember. I have set countless goals to reach a certain weight or lose a certain amount of weight by a certain time. Maybe you've been there, you know, by summer, I'm going to be down 20 pounds. Or by the time I turn 30, I'm going to be down 50 pounds. That was a big goal, right? I would start off good for a couple of weeks, and then I would fall back into my old eating habits, my normal routine. Then it was by the time I turned 40. Well, here I am, past that age of 40, and not close to that goal. Now, you might be saying, what in the world is all this about, and how does it relate to Jesus? Come on, Erin. Well, hang with me. The thing about all of these weight goals or weight loss goals was that they were just that. They were goals. Without establishing the habits that I need to establish in my life to make the changes I needed to make, the goal was just some point off in the future. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We are starting a new series on Christian living. And today, I get the privilege on speaking about goals versus habits. My name is Erin Mueller, and I've been a disciple member of Connection Church since the very beginning. And I am a person in desperate need of a Savior who loves Jesus and has been saved by his death and resurrection on the cross. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this time together, both in person and online. Thank you for time to worship and come into your presence. Lord, I just pray that you would help me convey what you would have me say about Christian living. Lord, I am just a sinner that can only live through your saving grace. Please open our hearts and open our ears, Lord. Use me in your name. Amen. So as I said, this week starts a three-week series on Christian living and the practical ways that we can put our faith into action. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17, we are told, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." When we accept Jesus in our hearts, we become a new person, kind of like the caterpillar becomes a butterfly coming out of the chrysalis. But here's a hard question this morning. If someone you work with were to learn that you were a Christian, would they be shocked? Or would they have the aha moment, where it all of a sudden came together and they finally understood why you were just a little bit different than everyone else in that workplace? In Romans, which is another book in the New Testament, chapter 12, verse 2, we are told, and I'm going to paraphrase this in the Erin interpretation of it, but we're told that we should not conform or fit into how this world expects us to be and how people think that we should act, but that we should allow ourselves to be transformed or changed so that we can know the will of God. And the will of God is for us to walk with him and love others like Jesus does. That's Christian living. So, now on to the goals versus habits. You know, dictionary.com has a couple of definitions for habit, and a number of them were similar. The first was, quote, "an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary." And their example was the habit of looking both ways before crossing the street. We've all learned that habit, or should have, right? We teach our kids that. A second definition is a particular practice, custom, or usage, like maybe the habit of shaking one's hand when you meet them. Essentially, habits are actions that are so ingrained in us that they have become natural because of repetition. A habit is something that we do without thinking, but with skill and precision, like brushing your teeth. For some of you, it may be exercising. for some ladies in this congregation is crocheting, because I know that they can whip out a blanket without even thinking about it. So how is this different from a goal? In his book, Atomic Habits, it's a great book, by the way, James Clear writes that outcomes have very little to do with goals and the goals that we set, but they rely primarily on the systems or habits that we follow. And today we are going to focus on what habits can affect our Christian walk. One of the blogs that I read, titled One Christian Life, Habits Versus Goals, a guy named Nathaniel Dean wrote, "Habits are the way that we both live out and shape or reshape who we are. An emphasis on habits over goals focuses on shaping who we are and who we are becoming." He goes on to say that Jesus didn't have a lot to say about setting goals, moving toward them, and accomplishing them. But he did have a lot to say, teach, and model about the habits that shape our lives. Jesus taught about praying without ceasing, serving, loving, forgiving, giving generously, trusting, obeying, and I'm just scratching the surface, right? All of these habits can be found in Scripture. We could also add daily Scripture reading and study, fellowship, individual and group or corporate worship, fasting, and other habits. In all of these habits, whether we have established good or bad habits related to the topics, show the condition of our heart, and if our heart is towards or away from Christ. Now, as I was praying about these topics, so many habits came to mind. The first being the ones that are typically talked about with Christian living: reading the Bible, praying, going to church. But I would like to spend the rest of our time together focused on two habits that I don't feel are talked about quite as much, but I feel are essential and that the Lord put on my heart. The first habit is generous giving. In 2 Corinthians, which is in the New Testament, chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, who is the writer of Corinthians, says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." In this passage, Paul is addressing the people at the church at Corinth. And honestly, he's talking to us as well, and telling us that we should not hesitate to give generously out of fear or concern that we won't have enough to cover our needs. Paul is encouraging his audience that God was and is still able to meet our needs when they were giving generously from their heart. Now, at this point, you may be saying, "But I give every week when those bags come around. I drop something in, I give online, I have it automatically come out of my checking account." First off, humbly from our heart, we thank you so much. We really do. I'm on the finance team, or I was, I'm coming off. But we thank you. The church uses that money to keep these lights on, to pay the mortgage on this building, to pay our staff, to pay for, you know, the utilities, and to do ministry. We could not do ministry without that money. But the tough question this morning is, are you giving generously? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." At church, when we talk about giving, we often talk about the tithe. Scripture tells us in Numbers that the tithe is 10% of the inheritance, or these days it's 10% of your paycheck or your income, what we make. Numbers chapter 18, verse 26 states, "Speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe as I give you, the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as an offering to the Lord." So between these scriptures, we have been told that the tithe is 10% and that we are to give our first fruits, or off the top, as you will, or if you will, and we're to do it joyfully. Joyfully. Stick with me, because at this point you may be saying, okay, Aaron, I'm checking out. You're crazy. You don't know my finances. Just stop. And you're right. I don't know your finances. God knows your finances, but I don't. But I know my story, and I know my family's story. So let me tell you a little bit about it. I started my tithing journey when I was very young, like allowance young. We would get our allowance, $5, in ones and quarters, because we had to tithe on our allowance. That was what our parents taught us. We had to tithe on our $5, so we would get $4 in ones and four quarters to make the fifth dollar. 50 cents would go to church, and then the $4.50 would actually get split up into short-term savings, long-term savings, and we got $1.50 a week. But that's a different story. The takeaway is we would tithe on our $5. That's what we were taught. And as I started babysitting in middle school and high school and then got a job in high school, I continued this tithing habit that I had been taught. As I went into college, I continued the habit. I chose to continue that habit because my parents aren't here at college, right? I chose to continue that habit. And then on into adulthood. When I met and married my husband, Kyle, although he had not grown up in a Christian home, he had already begun tithing before we started dating and got married. So we continued this habit into our marriage. It was something we agreed on. We tithed in our marriage. You know, and we've had discussions. Do you tithe on the gross or do you tithe on the net? You know, like, and I wasn't going to go there. And then when you give a sermon, you have to submit it to Carrie and Alan for them to read it. And Alan's red pen said, well, which do you choose? Which do you do? So this is for us personally. We've prayed about this. For us personally, God tells us to give our first fruits. And that's before the government gets theirs. So we give off the gross. That's for Kyle and I. Now, this habit, you can see very clearly if you look at our ledger. We keep a ledger still. It's the way we stay together. But you can see it very clearly if you were to look in our ledger. We get paid on opposite weeks. So you see deposit, church tithe, and then the rest of the bills listed. Deposit, church tithe, rest of the bills. Every week, this is the way it goes. Now, I hear my heart. I don't share this to share how great Aaron and Kyle are, but how great and faithful God is. There have been numerous times we have discussed stopping this habit, breaking the habit, maybe just for a little while. Like when we were saving to purchase our home because we had or were outgrowing the one that I had bought before we got married. Or when tax season comes around and we're doing our stuff on the H&R Block online and the little helper pops up and says, are you sure that generous contribution is correct? That number seems high. To be honest, we've talked about halting our contribution or, you know, decreasing it from the tithe amount when we have seen that 1 or 2 years of tithing would have bought a gently used car while we're praying that the one that we drive is, we're praying that it holds on for another year or two. But here's the thing. It's a habit that God has called us to and that we have been obedient in and we've been blessed by. to be completely honest, there have been times in our life, and some of you know us, that we were not sure how we were going to pay our bills. We weren't. Yet we still wrote that first check to church. And we've never gone hungry, you can tell. Never gone hungry. Our bills got paid. When our 15-year-old son, Jacob, was a baby, our hot water heater died. Our water heater died in our house. And we were trying to figure out what to do. Heat the water the old style way to give him a warm bath. We were at a place financially that we couldn't take out another loan. We didn't have money saved. We didn't know what we were going to do. And some friends that are like family came together and bought us a hot water heater. Now, we don't give with the expectation of getting from God. But I will say we faithfully gave even when we weren't sure how we were going to keep our hot water hot. And God has blessed that. God blesses joyful and faithful giving. That comes from a habit of being generous. Now, with that habit, you can't start a goal of saying, you know what, I'll start giving next month. Next month, I'll give a little bit more. You just have to start. Each paycheck, or however you're paid, you have to first give God from the top. Once you begin, form the habit, and then it becomes second nature. So the second Christian living habit I'd like to discuss or explore more is serving. And in order to know why this should be a habit in our Christian life, let's look at why it's important biblically. Essentially, it's important because God tells us to do so. In Deuteronomy, which is a book in the first half of the Bible, chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And later, Ephesians 6, verse 7 tells us, "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people." We should make serving and service a habit because God tells us to do so. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus, the Son of God himself, the one who in this Christian life we seek to be more like and to love others like, lived a life of service. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus himself says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus is telling us that he didn't come to be served by others. Not much later in his life than when he said this, Jesus demonstrated the most humbling act of service when he washed the feet of his disciples. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine being one of those disciples, having the Son of God wash your feet? That is just like, it makes my heart flutter and drop all at the same time. I can't even imagine. Now you may be saying again, okay, Aaron, you've made your point. Let's move on. I know God tells us to serve. My schedule is crazy, crazy. So that's the thing about a goal versus a habit. A goal would say, I will serve 6 times in the next year. That's my goal, 6 times. But forming a habit, you might say, I'm going to email Amy, who's in charge of our children's ministry, and tell her that I will serve once a month in the gym where our kindergartner through fifth graders are. And then that would be the start of a monthly habit of service. Who knows? You may love helping in the gym and want to do more. Or maybe you decide to form a habit of looking where the need is and stepping into that gap. You know, I've had to do that where I kind of look beyond what I want or my comfort level and form the habit of looking to where the need might be. Sometimes there are needs where I don't necessarily feel called to. just the way it is sometimes. Let me explain. I love music, and I know God has given me the ability to play my guitar and the piano and participate on the worship team. There have been multiple Sundays, though, that I haven't been playing, and maybe I was out in the back, and Amy, in charge of our children's ministry, would come during the 10:30 service and say, "Aaron, we really need somebody in the nursery. Can you help me out?" Now, don't get me wrong. I love babies, but filling in the nursery is not, like, something I feel called to. I'm not going to sign up regularly. That's just not a calling. Give me a baby one-on-one. But there was a need. There was a need that needed to be filled, and I was asked to stand in the gap. So I said yes. I've said yes multiple times to that need. Another example is my husband, Kyle. I did get his permission to share this, but he serves in the gym every single Sunday at 10:30. He's there right now. He started initially serving in the pre-K room back on Green Street, and at some point he moved to the gym. I don't remember when. But anyway, if you know Kyle, you know that he loves kids, and he's really good with them. He's really good with them. We have made it a habit in our family to worship at 9 o'clock, and then he will serve at 10:30 every week. There's no discussion about what time are we going to church, because we always go at 9 so that he can serve at 10:30. It's as regular as brushing my teeth and that I'm getting up to go to work every day. Worship at 9 so he can serve at 10:30. But I will say, there have been Sundays, or runs of Sundays, if you will, weeks of Sundays, when Kyle hasn't been feeling it. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he was burnt out. Just wanted a break. I mean, it happens, right? And he would have loved to have broken that habit for a week or two or a couple. Broken that habit of weekly serving. But he didn't, and there's two reasons why. The first is because he knew that that need was there. If he wasn't there, there would be the need there. And second was because others relied on his habit of being there. Now, I'm not saying everyone should serve every single Sunday. And, you know, Kyle was like, "You could use me," but, you know, Kyle's not all about, like, "Ooh, look at me." But I will say there are large needs for people to serve in our church and our children's and youth ministry and in our First Impressions team. First Impressions team is when you're driving up to the church and you see people in the parking lot waving. Yeah, like, thank you so much. I don't imagine that that is fun when it is raining and it is freezing or when it is super hot out there. I don't imagine it's fun. But we have a dedicated group of men and women who have made it a habit of serving out there. And we are so thankful for you. And they could use some more people that would make that a habit. Another opportunity for serving is during our upcoming VBX, or Vacation Bible School, Vacation Bible Experience, excuse me. You know, even if you like to do stuff behind the scenes, there's volunteer opportunities there as well. Just email the church office, and we can help you get connected. But here's the question about Christian living habits. What does your habit of service look like? Is it more a habit of serving yourself or your family? Or do you have a habit of serving others, maybe here at Connection? So I'll say, when Pastor Carrie first asked me to preach, it was actually by text. She sent me a text and asked me if I would preach today. And my reply was, via text, "Are you sure you've got the right person?" And then I asked about the topic. She sent me to Pastor Allen, and he said, "It's about goals versus habits, Christian living." Okay. So there are so many Christian living habits that we could have talked about today. Prayer, scripture reading, worship, forgiveness, fellowship, sharing your faith, I could go on. In preparation, I found multiple sermon series on Christian living habits, you know, where each week was devoted to a different individual habit itself. But as I prayed about this opportunity this morning, I felt the habits of tithing or generous giving and serving laid on my heart. They are two habits that are imperative to one's Christian walk. And they won't happen by setting a goal of starting next month. But you have to make a decision and act on that decision to create a habit. One of the blogs that I read while I was preparing, the blog was titled, "Jesus Never Set Goals. He Did This Instead." And it was by Neil Samudre. And in that blog, Neil said, Jesus wasn't goal-minded. He didn't say, I'm going to heal 20 people today. You'll never see that in scripture. I'm going to heal 20 people today. He was mission-minded. He had a habit of following teaching with action. Jesus had the habit of adhering to the mission no matter what. So, what mission or missions do my habits point to? Are the habits me-focused? Are they you-focused? Or are they Jesus and eternity-focused? I know I want to continue to establish habits that draw me closer to Jesus in my walk with him, and habits that point others towards Jesus. What about you? Let's pray. Dear God, just thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, Lord. And I just pray that you would point out a habit or habits in each of our lives that we can focus on to be more like you, to walk closer with you, and to serve others better in your name, Lord. Help us to see that this week, Lord, so that we can continue to grow in our Christian walk and that others would see you through us, Lord. That Christian living really is a process, Lord, and that we can continue to draw closer to you and make it a daily habit of walking with you. Thank you for our worship team, Lord, and more time to worship. We just thank you and praise you for this morning. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.